Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox in College.
It is time for a totally tubular Tuesday, dude!
Oh, no.
Let's talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. It's Jeff Byers, dude. It's Scott Geezy, dude. You can join the program, dudes and dudettes, by giving us a ring at 814-954-7266. It's going to be totally rad.
I never did understand. Yeah, tubular. What does that mean, tubular? Like you're shaped like a tube? What is that? What does that mean? I've never understood what that means.
Bruh. If I have to explain it to you, bruh.
I'm terribly sorry. I've just, at 80 speak and so on, it's like tubular. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, dude is out, bro, or more accurately these days, bruh. Bruh is in.
Yeah, okay.
Bruh.
Oh, man.
What's up, bruh?
I'm getting old. Bruh. B-R. U-H, I think it's
what's
spelled.
Up, sir? I guess that would be the for sister, sir.
Oh,
what's up, sir? Bruh.
I have no idea.
Bruh. Sir.
Clouds roll in, and this is what he turns into, folks. I mean, this is, now we got probably, off and on. We got a rainy day today. Hit a couple showers on the drive in this morning. Nothing major. It's supposed to be more this evening into tomorrow morning, and we could use the rain. All right. So it's going to be a cloudy day. Then it's going to get cool. It's going to get downright autumn-like. All right. So you have been warned. Our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, told us yesterday. All right, get ready. Here it comes. So there we go. All right, we got a lot of things to cover here on the show today. We have an interesting guest at 9 o'clock.
Yes, indeed. Frank Parlato, likely, we'll see how it goes. He may join us for the entire 9 o'clock hour. We've got a lot of ground to cover regarding the Jerry Sandusky case. They have filed yet another request for appeal. We're going to get into some of the, there's a lot there to unpack. Some of it has been there all along. I want to also kind of delve into Frank's perspective on if he's ever seen anything quite like this case, in terms of the just adamant refusal by the courts to objectively look at this case. I think it is because the system is so corrupt that they do not want to, will not even look at, hey, we got this wrong. I do not see, regardless of what you think, and I think you could be a reasonable person, look at the totality of the evidence and still have questions. I don't have questions. Many others who have really delved into this don't have questions, but fair enough if you still do. I genuinely think it is impossible to look at this case and all of the preponderance of the evidence, as they say, and come to the conclusion that Jerry Sandusky got a fair trial. That is, I don't think, a possible way that you could look at this. And that ought to be concerning to everybody. We ought to at least demand fair trials for everybody. And with some of the newer stuff that is in this most recent court filing, I think there is at least hope. I'm not overly optimistic, even though I think, again, in a sane world, this would be a slam dunk, no-brainer, my God. And actually, with the evidence that is there now, to me, based on what we had recently with the Vedum case, it'd be like, oh, for God's sake, just let him go. let him go and live out his life. At this point, is it worth the retrial? But I don't think we live in a sane world, and so I'm not as optimistic as some in the Sandusky camp are. I'm hoping that they are right, and they should be. Again, there is no question that at the very least a new trial should be granted. But Frank Parlato, frankreport.com, he does a lot of investigative reporting and has really done yeoman's work. Outside of John Ziegler, I don't know that there's anybody that has done as much heavy lifting in this particular case as Frank Parlato, and we'll discuss all of the various aspects of this case with Mr. Parlato coming up in the 9 o'clock hour this morning.
Gonna be an interesting hour. All right.
Yes.
So make sure you stay tuned. Gonna be interesting. All right. Yeah. Subbu Vedum. I mean, this is getting weird. Okay. The guy's in jail for over 40 years. He gets released down in Huntington. ICE picks him up. Now he's over in Phillipsburg. And they're claiming, well, Mr. Vedum is a resident of India. Okay. When he was 9 months old, he was a resident of India. He's now 64 years old. I don't think he's a resident of India anymore. I support a lot of the things that ICE is doing around the country. I mean, they're going after the bad guys. For some reason, we let the bad guys in the country. We need to get them out. All right? Whatever it takes, we need to get them out. So I support a lot of that stuff. I'm scratching my head on this one. I just, like, really? I mean, come on. So the folks that are backing Mr. Vedum, of course, are trying to say, hey, he was in jail unjustly for all those decades. That counts for something. He has a green card. He has legal status, all that sort of stuff. This idea, yeah, he's a resident of India. Yeah, when he was 9 months old back in, what, 1962 or something like that? That should count for something. So that, I mean, that's just a weird one. Folks, we're surrounded by weird situations. Yikes. All right, let's take a call here.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Hi, guys. I'd like to comment on the Sandusky issue and do it seriously. I know sometimes I call just to inflame, but
no.
This is real important. But to your, what you were talking about, Scott, first is that, you know, I think, and I have no problem with deportation if you're here illegally and a criminal. But I think when it comes to being born here, there's got to be some sort of cutoff. Like, it wasn't your fault. So if you're 12 years old and you've been here legally because of mom and dad, I think you should get to stay. We got to find an age whereby, you know, you're born in America, you know, from an illegal, say, we'll call it an illegal family. And all you know is America, and we say, well, since your mom and dad weren't a citizen, you're born here, you're illegal. And this is coming from a really hardcore conservative, which is me. Because that's justice. That not just us, justice. But I just wanted to comment on what Jeff said, on Sandusky. And I don't know a lot about it, but I can tell you this with certainty, and I'm being honest here. I've studied law since I was 13. I have fought these, I call them occupiers, who have hurt people for many years, and I haven't taken a dime. And I've won a lot of the times. And this goes to one instance where this is a January 6th, they went there. He didn't really commit any crime, but they wanted to arrest him, and they eventually did. They took his kid. This is prior to arresting him. They kidnapped his kid because he was a political activist, literally, from school. He didn't know where she was for 6 months. Now, lawyers were afraid to take on the case because they're cowards. They can only lose in plea bargain because I've beaten many of them and I despise them. Even so-called friends of mine said, you know, I like you as a friend, but as a lawyer, I don't like you at all. Because what you said, Jeff, I've covered many trials. And if you're a murderer, they're going to give you all your rights. But if it's political, here's what happens. The case either goes away so you can't argue what the other court has said as a matter of law, or they stack the system and you lose. Now, never forget this if you guys are ever in court. And by the way, it was a year and a half of my wife and I helping this guy, primarily my wife, who's part of the legal system. And the judge believing five lawyers against this man, five lawyers, stealing his kid for a year and a half, didn't see her for a year, didn't tell him where she was. After a year and a half, they released her, and the judge went after DCF, and people lost their jobs. And I think there's criminal indictments coming. The judge was embarrassed. He apologized to him because the lawyer judge believed his friends and had some sense of morality, and now is going after them. When the system comes after you, let me tell you, they're going to get you unless you know how to fight. And most people don't. They use lawyers, and they tell you to plea bargain. I've seen it over and over. But with Sandusky, we'll never forget this. You will be found guilty or innocent based on the evidence the judge allows in court because you can't argue the law in front of the jury. The judge won't let you. So what the judge will say is, if there's enough evidence to show that this individual violated a rule, regulation, or statute, here's the word they use, you must find him guilty. And the word must means probably or likely, not required. Oh, it must be midnight. They subvert and pervert the entire system. These are extremely evil people. They're your next-door neighbor, they're your friends, but in practice, they're extremely evil people. And I'm not just saying this to rattle cages. I've seen it over and over and over again with innocent people going to jail, losing their businesses. You know, I deal with business people every day that are on the edge right now. They're barely paying their bills because they can't borrow any money because of what the government has done over the past 4 years. So I'm going to ask you a question, then two questions, and I want to hear it because I really want to know what you guys think. Why in 1968, when they stole our money, our gold and silver, and started printing money, which is blatantly illegal and unconstitutional for the Federal Reserve, where wars were started after 1913, to make money and kill Americans, that's what these people have done. Why do the American people tolerate that? And here's the second question I have for you guys, and I really don't know this because you're much more learned in sports than me, but I'm going to quote a football player. Do you guys know Dante Moore? I don't know who he is. Or Dante Moore?
Dante Moore?
Dante Moore. Do you know who he is?
Is that the quarterback from Oregon?
Yes. He was quoted as saying, I don't care if the whole world calls me hateful, forcing us to wear an LGBT armband is no different than turning football into a political circus. I play for Oregon Ducks. Yeah, Oregon Ducks, not for a movement. Is that quote true, and is it true that they're forcing these NFL players to do that?
I've never heard this one.
But yeah, I'm not familiar
with that. I have no. Where'd you
get it? May be, but
where did you see this?
I'm aware of it.
Well, it was one of those things where, you know, it's on the internet and you quit and you get. And I use more than three sources. So I was just wondering if it was just made up to incite people against people that are different. Or, you know, I don't like the idea of the, you know, where I am right now, they had an a gay pride parade. And it's beyond me as to why anyone would want to force their sexual views on me or you. I don't think there should be a heterosexual pride parade. Sick bastards. Why don't we just march to help the children that are at children's hospital or the weak or the people that can't? Why are we we're so narcissistic in this country. It just makes me sick.
Well, I tell you what, if you can ever share the reference from that quote you just shared, I guess I'd like to see it because it just doesn't ring right.
Okay, well, I'm going to send it to, I just want to know if the NFL is doing that. If the NFL now has gotten so woke that they're forcing people to do that.
Wait, but you right. Said it was a college quarterback. Am I like, really? He would have said that? Maybe you're confusing with another person.
No, I'm going to send it to you. I'm going to send it
all
to you.
All right,
now.
Go ahead. I just.
All right.
Just let's take a look at it, all right?
But with Sandusky, Jeff, remember this. That this is what they do. This is what they do.
All right.
They stack the deck.
Well, this case even more so, I would argue, than others. And, you know, the problem, I suspect that they, and I may be giving too much of the benefit of the doubt here, I think that they thought they had a child predator, and by God, the ends will justify the means. And in the process, oops, got it wrong.
They always do that.
Yeah, I mean, the judge to me, very clearly mishandled this case on, again, a bunch of procedural counts. Again, starting with, well, not starting with, but one of which was holding a preliminary hearing after hours in a hotel.
Hotel room.
A hotel conference room. Now, you tell me, how often have you heard of a case that is on the up and up, or any case for that matter, where, yeah, we're going to hold a preliminary hearing after hours in a conference room at a local hotel? Okay. Like, that right there should be enough red flags. Oh, wait, something ain't right here, folks. Like, this isn't hard to see how corrupt this case was.
No, people were, they're trained from the time they're in school, and mommy and daddy, to believe the police, and I've had police in my family, I'm not putting all police down, believe the system, believe the government, believe your school teacher. That's the problem. We should believe no one. Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. That's the problem.
What is amazing in this case is that they are like the now so-called victims. If we're to believe people, because that they interviewed the folks, and they're like, yeah, nothing happened. Well, are you sure? Yeah, nothing happened. Well, we'll come back to you in a week or so.
We've
heard that other people have said that he has. Are you sure nothing happened? Well, by the third or fourth time, so this whole, you know, you need to believe the victims. Well, you didn't believe them at first. And it was through coercion, I would argue, pretty clearly through coercion. And again, even... we'll go through this with Frank Parlato. But again, if a police officer comes in and is like, hey, can you tell us, has Scott Giese done anything inappropriate with you? Nice. And I'm like, well, no. And they're like, all right. Just so you know, we have some other people that when they've been alone with him, that they say he has done some bad things. Are you sure he never like reached out and touched you? Well, I mean, we have some people lined up that he has done this for years. Well, I don't know. I don't think. Really, he never reached out and made you feel uncomfortable? Well, I mean, maybe the one morning there it was. Now, did you start to think to yourself, well, no, because that's how it started with these other people. Well, you folks, if you're not seeing the difference between tell us what happened and, hey, are you sure something didn't happen because this is what happened in all of these other cases? Then you start going through in your mind. It's, well, maybe something. I mean, I want to, you want to help us get a predator off the street, don't you? Well, I don't want to be one of the people that lets a predator loose. Are you sure there was never anything that made you? Well, maybe he did make me feel a little uncomfortable that one morning. Well, could it have been more than once? Well, maybe. Oh my God. There might have been that second morning. I'll tell you what. Why don't we get you and a few of the other folks that this happened to together? Let you meet with an attorney. Let's see. If you guys can come up with how much money you think you could get.
Oh, my God.
And then,
really
then let's come back and see if your story isn't maybe a little more solid. And this is, I'm overstating it by a bit, but this is basically the way this case became the case that it did. It's beyond mind-blowing.
All right. Thanks for
appreciate
your call.
Appreciate the phone call.
Thanks for your call.
We need to take a break here. We will take a check of the sports scene. When we come back, you are locked in to Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Scott Graham here from Westwood One. Don't miss any of our exclusive NFL action all season long until a new champion is crowned at Super Bowl 60. Of course, each week begins with Thursday Night Football. I'll get it started with a preview and a look ahead at the big weekend games. Then it's to the stadium for the play-by-play of all the action. Join us all season long on Thursday Night Football.
The road to Super Bowl 60 starts right here all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
It's a busy world, too many things grabbing your attention. On the radio, you want a show that talks to what you're thinking about. And yeah, some laughs to break up the stress. That show is Let's Talk. Weekdays, 8 to 10 a.m. here on 98.7 The Fox. This is Scott Giese. Join me and Jeff Byers for talk every day on the topics that interest you, that make you angry, that make you want to know more. Big topics, local topics, news or sports, and your calls and comments. Start your day with a show to get the brain cells firing. Let's Talk. Weekdays, 8 to 10 a.m. here on 98.7 The Fox.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coolest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. We'll have a little open phone time coming up in the final segment this hour. Frank Parlato, frankreport.com, will join us in the 9 o'clock hour, and we will talk about the latest in the Jerry Sandusky case and his latest appeal and the quest for justice and a new trial in that particular case. Penn State football, getting ready for homecoming. Boy, you can just feel the excitement building. Catch in town.
Yeah, this,
folks are all excited.
This will be different.
Let's get behind the team and support them and get together. And
okay.
3:30 kickoff for the Nittany Lions and the Wildcats on Saturday. Penn State, if you hadn't heard, they actually lost a second straight game. This one out at UCLA this past Saturday, 42-37. And so Penn State is once again in bounce-back mode for the upcoming week. And the Nittany Lions, like Northwestern, now unranked on the season. State College field hockey team falling to Lower Dauphin yesterday by a score of 5-0. Cora Beerley had 20 saves in goal, 4 stayed high. Little Lions are 5-8 on the season and now are 4-7 in mid-Penn play. Also last night in boys soccer, Penns Valley shutting out Tyrone 2-0. The Rams, 8-1-2 over their last 11 games. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Leo Martin Villanueva scored a first-half goal to put Penns Valley ahead. Deion Decker iced the game with a late goal in the second half. Penns Valley has 7 shutouts in those past 11 games.
They're playing. My Rams are playing.
That's good defense.
Yes.
Is what that is.
Thank you.
See how I put that together?
Okay.
It's like a no goals defense.
Yeah.
Penn State football. We know this week's game with the Northwestern, again, a 3:30 kickoff. We now know the Penn State and Iowa game. Oh, boy. Will be a 7 o'clock kickoff.
Oh, boy.
That is going to be a tough environment for the Nittany Lions. Kinnick Stadium at night, very tough. That game will be televised. Well, not televised. It will be streamed on Peacock.
Oh, boy.
Great. You can see it on Peacock.
Wonderful.
A week from Saturday, Penn State at Iowa, 7 p.m. Peacock is where
okay,
watch that game. I like all saying right, Peacock.
Right. Don't stop that.
The Penn State men's hockey team up one spot to number 4 in the coaches' poll this week. The Nittany Lions coming off a season-opening sweep of 2 games at 14th-ranked Arizona State. Well, previously 14th-ranked. They're down to number 15. After losing the 2 home games to the Nittany Lions. Penn State outscoring Arizona State in the 2 third periods by a combined 8-0. It's good strong finishes is what that is. Nittany Lions will be opening up the home schedule against Clarkson. First game will be Thursday night. Second game will be on Friday night. The season opener will be on the Big Ten, or the home opener will be on the Big Ten Network. 6:30 will be the face-off time on Thursday at Pagula. NFL last night. Hey, how about those Jacksonville Jaguars? The Kansas City Chiefs are now 2-3 after falling 31-28. Trevor Lawrence did the old, let me fall down and then run into the end zone for a touchdown.
He fell down twice.
It was quite the play that gave Jacksonville the victory. 31-28, the Jaguars now 4-1 on the season. Chiefs again, 2-3. Who had that on their scorecard at the start of the season?
I mean, that was the most bizarre play. He kind of trips over a guy's foot.
It was a little goofy.
And then he tries to get up, and he falls down again and somehow scrambles for a touchdown. Go figure.
Yeah, there were some, we may or may not get into it later this morning. There was some interesting officiating again. In that game last night. I don't know exactly what the answer is, but they got to come up with something better than what they have right now. It is a bad look for the league. Philadelphia Phillies, speaking of a bad look, ugh, down 2-0 in the best of 5 series with the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Dodgers winning 4-3 last night. Phillies had a late rally, but it was snuffed out by those no-good Dodgers. And the big bats are not exactly coming through here for Philadelphia. Through the first 2 games of their postseason. Game 3 will be in L.A. Tomorrow, and we'll see if the Phillies can, again, get a win and then get another win. And then if you get one more, you win the series. They're just 3 wins away.
Then they're good.
That's all.
That's it. Okay.
All they
got to do.
Three wins.
Yeah.
And that's... they're back in business. Same thing with the Chicago Cubs, just 3 wins away. Brewers beat Chicago 7-3 yesterday as well, so the Brewers are up 2-0 in that series. Today, the American League takes center stage as the Toronto Blue Jays look for a sweep. Oh, I do like Blue Jays.
Wait a minute. The Yankees are 3 games away.
No, they're a game away from being swept they are.
All right.
Blue Jays with brooms are just, that's a good look.
Okay.
I like those Blue Jays with brooms.
You're Canadian, though.
Always. Eh?
Oh, Canada.
Eh? Get us a donut and some beer, eh? Let's go fishing and play some hockey, eh? Blue Jays and Yankees tonight, 8:08. And the Blue Jays just need to hammer it home. Meanwhile, the Mariners and the Tigers, that series will not end today. That'll be a 4:08 start. That series is even at 1 game apiece. The Detroit Tigers will host the Mariners in Game 3 this afternoon. Again, a 4:08 start for that one. Penn State wrestling news. Landon Seiden, who is rated as the 4th overall recruit in the 2027 recruiting class by Mat Scouts, and he is the top-ranked 120-pounder in the country, he has announced that he would like to join the Nittany Lions, and he becomes the 2nd announced commitment for the 2027 recruiting class, joining Gavin Mangano. Seiden writing on his official commitment post, quote, "I am extremely excited to announce that I've committed to Penn State to further my wrestling and academic career, exclamation point. I believe Penn State will be the best fit for me, and I can succeed in many aspects," unquote.
Sounds good.
Finally.
That sounds
Penn
about right.
State getting some recruiting done. Finally, this
finally.
Coaching staff
okay.
getting some names. It's been a long haul these last few days since they had it.
Oh, yeah.
Former Penn State men's basketball guard DeMarco Dunn has joined Finnish basketball club KTP Basket Kotka, based in Kotka, Finland.
Okay, if you say so.
That's exactly what I say.
Okay.
Onward State reporting that his new squad already has its season underway. Did you miss that?
I did.
I missed it in my sports report
Finnish
as well.
I don't follow Finnish basketball.
Kurisliiga season.
Easy for you to say.
opened up with a 77-74 loss for the KTP Basket Kotka to Katanja Basket. That was back on October 3rd.
Okay.
Dunn tied for the team lead in his debut with 15 points and added 4 rebounds. Thank you, Onward State, for...
he's
keeping
gonna,
up on the finish.
He's gonna
basketball league.
He's gonna dominate that league.
We sincerely appreciate.
Come on, baby.
I would not have
yeah.
had any idea otherwise. And that I think is what I have from the sports world.
Okay.
Scrambling a little bit this morning, admittedly. We were just scrambling from the get-go at our household this morning.
Okay.
Oh, Penn State women's volleyball, the Northwestern match has been moved back to an 8 o'clock start on Saturday night. Volleyball team down to 16th in the latest coaches poll as well. And now, I think, that is what I have.
So that would be after the football game's over.
Correct. That would probably be why they moved that back.
Hopefully, all right.
Yes, unless we have an 8 overtime affair with Northwestern to
just
put us
stop,
in the mindset of that. Maybe we can go 9 overtime.
That was that Illinois game.
Oh
my Lord.
Good Lord.
Let's not repeat that again.
Let's not.
All right, so this wrestling recruit, he's a high school junior right now.
Going into his junior season.
Right now, he's a junior in high school.
Yep.
Okay. 120 pounds. Is that a, you're Mr. Wrestling, I'm not. Is that a spot where Penn State could, I don't know, use some help or something? Or
down the road. Luke Lilledahl, for the moment, not too bad. Some people think he's going to grow into a 33-pounder, which certainly could happen. But I think that, again, we're a couple of years away here. They'll be able to get things figured out.
See, that's what I was wondering. I mean, again, when I think college, 120 pounds, I'm thinking...
Well, 120, yeah, he would wrestle at 125 collegiately.
Whatever.
Again, he is... We'll see where he ends up in college. It's one of the tricky things with wrestling. I mean, you can try to get some idea based on parents and just kind of overall growth, but sometimes it's like a guy that you pencil in as a 33-pounder. Surprise! Welcome to our 65-pound weight class. You don't know in some of these cases exactly where they're going to settle in and what their physical development. Again, you get some ideas sometimes with parents and all of that. It's like, I think this guy's probably going to be pretty small for his entire career. But sometimes, again, you get... We've had surprises over the years where it's like, all right, I'm pretty sure this guy will be 33 or 41. It's like, no, or 57 or 65. Or this guy's going to be our 84-pounder. And then a couple of years later, it's, welcome to our heavyweight.
Wait a minute.
So you just you never know.
Those lightest weights, I've always wondered about that. I mean, I'm not talking high school now. We're talking college.
Yeah.
And you're 125 pounds. You're a guy. 125? I'm thinking, man, that's really light. You're going to be able to stay that way because growth is, I think, inevitable. And so that's why I threw that question out there.
Yeah.
You know, the higher weights, it's like, okay, got some wiggle room here, la, la, la. 125, there's not a lot of wiggle room there. When you're in college, you're still growing. All right, I've always been fascinated by that. That's just interesting stuff. Penn State had their media gig yesterday. I tell you what, the knives are out. I mean, some of these folks, either reporters or just people on social media. I mean, some of the comments I read, now this is straight off social media, that's all I got. Some comments I read from after the event yesterday, just like, okay, oh, Franklin looks tired. Oh, Franklin looks beat. Oh, Franklin, just one after another, I'm thinking, okay, Franklin always leads with his scouting report on the opponent. Well, he didn't do that yesterday. He's obviously wiped out. I'm thinking, oh, for God's sakes, come on. All right, folks.
Everything is going to be overanalyzed.
Some of you are going overboard now.
Yeah.
Now, I'll still continue to say they should have done nothing yesterday. Just shut off the media. We're concentrating on winning this game on Saturday. You're not going to talk your way out of this. All right? You're not. Actions speak louder than words, that old line. And yet my fear is that they're going to fall back into words and talk and chat and texts, or not texts, but posts on social media. It's just, you know, again, that message that went out Sunday night, please tell me the coach didn't personally send that message. Oh, 1-0, Northwestern, Northwestern, Northwestern. No. All right, fans are not going for that anymore. One man's opinion. Fans are not going for that anymore. Just that's talk is cheap, okay? And nothing at Penn State is cheap. $100 parking space. Talk is cheap. No more talk. Get out and do it. That's it. Interesting. Penn State's like, what, a 21-point favorite or something in this game with Northwestern?
Oh, they're sure to cover, Geezy. They've been doing it all season.
No.
Oh, they haven't.
They haven't done it at all. Yeah. They're 0-5. All right? They're 0-4 covering the spread, even against the Cream Puffs.
This will be the week they put it together, and they win it by 20 touchdowns.
I mean, this. I think we disagree on one thing.
Yeah, what do we do?
If. Now, this, put this in mega letters. IF. If.
Neon lights.
Neon lights blinking.
Next to each other. Yeah.
If Penn State can somehow win their last seven games.
Yeah, I think not 1-0. 7-0.
Well,
not Northwestern, Northwestern, Iowa, Ohio State, Indiana, Michigan State, Nebraska. I think that's the message I want to get out
there. If they can win their last seven games, which is a gigantic if, like Mount Rushmore if, they make the playoff. I think they make it.
I mean, they will have a chance. I'm telling you that the UCLA ding is going to be a huge hurdle to overcome. I wouldn't rule it out, but I think it is more likely they miss even at 10-2 than it is they make it because of the UCLA loss. Now, part of it will depend. I mean, it can't project everything that's going to happen, but I think it's going to be hard for Penn State to get in over another 10-2 team, especially from the Big Ten or the SEC, because of that loss at UCLA. I mean, combined with the Oregon loss. But I think when you're comparing resumes, now, obviously, in that scenario, we're talking about quality wins that seem very unlikely at the moment at Ohio State and home with Indiana. And certainly those would be up there, if they were to win at Ohio State. Stop that laughing out there. Stop that laughing,
okay,
I said.
Move on.
If they beat the Buckeyes at Ohio State, that would be the most quality win as well. So you'd have to put that into the hopper. But I think the combination of the non-conference schedule and the loss at UCLA makes it unlikely. I'll say that. Unlikely. Not impossible, but unlikely that Penn State, even at 10-2, would get into the playoffs.
I mean, UCLA has seven games left to play. They clearly showed a lot of stuff Saturday. If they can pull out of their early season nosedive and maybe finish, I don't know, 500. I'm looking at their schedule right now. UCLA plays Ohio State.
Yeah, they have Indiana.
They play
too.
Indiana.
Yeah.
All right. But if they could somehow finish like 6-6, which might be a real stretch for them.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it here too.
I think that counts for something. I mean, again, gigantic if, Mount Everest sized if.
Yeah.
They can do it. I think they can make the playoff. But, yes, that means winning one. I mean, one more stumble and that, forget about it.
Wow.
It's
yes,
toast.
That definitively ends any
all right,
penny
for,
shot.
It's all over. So, I mean, the margin of error is gone. And so the question is, okay, what's going to happen in this remainder? And, again, a lot of folks, ooh, I mean, some of you are just brutal. Ooh. All right, let's take one step at a time. But my fear for Penn State is don't fall back into business as usual. Hopefully last week showed that business as usual doesn't work. You need to totally change the script. And when coach comes out yesterday and it's pretty much the same blah 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 blah, that I'm shaking my head like no, you don't get it. You need to change something. Crap on, forget the 1-0 Northwestern. Just nobody wants to see that anymore. But you just don't. The fans don't want to see that anymore. They want to see results in the field, which is why they're spending hundreds, thousands of dollars for tickets and parking spaces and all that sort of thing. That's what they want. No talk. Talk is cheap. And then when they come out yesterday, I'm like, okay, they're doing it again. Okay, we'll see how this week goes. Going to be real interesting. All right, we're going to take a break. Oh, forgot one thing.
Who is going to be favored In the Alamo Bowl, Penn State or Texas? That's the question.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it? Yeah, really. With North Carolina, like, watching from the sidelines. The NHL season starts tonight.
Oh, yes. The beloved Pittsburgh Penguins taking on the hated, despised, god-awful New York Rangers.
Although, that's on TV tonight.
It is.
ESPN?
Yes.
ESPN is a game starting at 5 today, which I think has Florida, right? I think Florida plays in that first game.
I think that is correct.
Is that right? I mean, they're the champs and so on.
Yeah.
You know, 5 o'clock game, which is kind of weird. Penguins play at 8.
Blackhawks, right?
And then there's another game at 11.
Yeah, Blackhawks at Panthers at 5. Penguins and Rangers at 8 in New York. And then the Avalanche will be at the Kings. Other games today, the Canadiens will be at the Maple Leafs. Toronto will be celebrating because their Blue Jays will complete the sweep of the Yankees tonight.
Oh, I see.
Wonderful show that game at the at the arena. Probably be worth putting up there for the last out anyway. Bruins will be at the Capitals tonight. The Kings will be at the Golden Knights. The Flyers, by the way, open their season on Thursday. And Flyers fans, help me out. I'm forgetting. They're at the Panthers. They open their season Thursday night at Florida.
All right, there you go. All right, let's take a break.
Welcome back.
We'll have an open line segment. Once again, coming up next hour, Frank Parlato, investigative journalist. I tell you what, buddy, you ask the questions. I'm going to sit back and listen on this one.
Oh, you can chime in.
All right, this is really your baby, and I can tell you're revved. All right, stay tuned for that, folks. Don't go anywhere. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports, the Fox. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend
is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand Multi-Force stand-ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports. I love Pittsburgh sports. We both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Now a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts friendship and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, printing and more printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Let's talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Some open phone time here till the top of the hour. Frank Parlato, frankreport.com, will join us in the 9 o'clock hour, and we will delve into the Jerry Sandusky case and the latest filing in an attempt to get a retrial and ultimately to allow justice to prevail and get Jerry Sandusky out of jail. Jerry Sandusky now 81 years old, by the way. So, again, we'll talk with Frank Parlato here in about 10 minutes from now.
And in jail for 13 years.
Yeah.
Yep, 2012. That's... All right. So, we've got a few minutes here, folks. 814-954-7266. We'll mention today, again, we got our countdown here. Today is day number 99. Without a state budget. All right. Tomorrow will be day 100. That normally means something special. You hit triple digits.
When do they have, there's a law, they have to get it passed by a certain day. When's that coming up, Scott?
Well, that was 100 days. Well,
what?
99 days ago.
I don't understand what you're saying. That's a law.
All right.
They have to pass it by then.
Well, you talk to our guest tomorrow, all right?
So instead of lawmakers, we have a bunch of lawbreakers in Harrisburg.
Ooh.
Fantastic.
Stephen Caruso of Spotlight PA is going to join us. Stephen covers Harrisburg carefully and closely. Mm-hmm. I reached out to him last week, like, we haven't had you on in a while, bud. Here comes day 100. He's like, okay, I'm game. So we're going to dig into this. Why is it day 100? I mean, nothing's going to happen today. I'd be amazed if it did. So, you know, what's going on? What's behind the scenes? All this sort of stuff.
Well, we just have to make the federal dollars last a little longer. fortunately, they got everything covered in that budget, I think, right?
Oh, it's a lovely world we're living in.
Uh-huh.
So listen in tomorrow. We're going to, and this judge's election. Oh boy, this one, judge's elections never heat up. This one's heating up. I'm seeing, you know, postcards and yard signs and oh my gosh. Stephen's covering that too. So we're going to get some lowdown on that one and some other things. That's tomorrow's show, all right? So make sure that you tune in tomorrow. This is Nobel Prize Week, all right? The folks in Sweden handing out the esteemed awards, all right? Earlier this morning, the Nobel Prize in Physics was handed to John Clark, Michel Devoret, and John Martinez. For their research into quantum mechanical tunneling. I have no idea what that means. What?
They bypassed me again.
Physics.
Yeah.
You're into physics.
I thought I'd get it for my Lego project.
Would that be physics?
I built a tower that was like 20 Legos high.
Well, I think next week is the Nobel Prize for Legos.
That's
not this week. That's next
it's
week.
It's a tower. It's straight up.
Yes.
It's like
20 that's
pieces
next week's
high.
Next week's awards.
It took me a couple of weeks
stay
to get
tuned
it
for that.
I'm pretty proud.
All right. Now, again, the Nobel Peace Prize is Friday. Today, of course, is October 7. It was 2 years ago. All right. If you follow news, you know this. When Hamas attacked Israel, that's about it. Their talk, they got these peace talks going on right now. Still a lot of things to hash out. Again, I'm a bit amazed that Hamas, that bunch, is willing to just step aside. Okay, we won't do things anymore. I find that extremely difficult to believe, that those people will say, okay, let somebody else take over. Allegedly, now that's part of the deal, Hamas, you're out, you leave. Really? They're just going to step aside after all this from the last, well, more than 2 years. Okay, we'll see what happens. I hope that's the case. I mean, that would be great. We could actually see peace in the Middle East. That would be amazing. And yes, Donald Trump's got his fingerprints all over it. And if it actually happens, how do you not give him the Nobel Peace Prize? How do you not? I realize some of you just beyond despise the man. But still, come on, there it is. I guess Scott here, I'm not a huge fan, but you call him as you see him. And if this actually happens, how do you not? Now, the question is, will the Nobel Committee give it to him this week anyway, even though the final deal's not done? All right, they could be talking about this for days and days. You know, they're over in the Middle East and they got negotiators and all this sort of stuff. But maybe this week, just for trying, we'll give Trump the Peace Prize. I mean, come on, Barack Obama got it in 2009. He didn't do anything. All right, you can be the biggest Barack Obama fan out there. Great, wonderful. He didn't do anything. He wasn't even, nothing. And they gave it to him. Okay. No. The media geek in me is going to watch this, okay? Barry Weiss leads a news outlet online that I really like a lot called The Free Press. These are folks from different political angles, but what they do is they cover stories, and they're not afraid to take on anybody. All right, they're pretty even-handed, which unfortunately a lot of other national news outlets can't make that claim. CBS News can't make that claim. Well, now as part of this new deal, Barry Weiss is now the editor-in-chief of CBS News. Oh, some people have their underwear in twisties on this one. Holy moly. Now, it's true. Barry Weiss, by the way, is a gal. B-A-R-I. Barry. She's never had a job this high, if you will, like being the grand poobah of a big media organization. Now she is, all right, with the new ownership at CBS. And she put out, this became official yesterday, she put out a statement. And this got covered, you know, quite a bit yesterday about her taking over. And she sent out a memo to everybody at CBS News with 10 points on what she wants CBS News to do. And they're all even-handed stuff, which for some reason I cannot pull up now on my device. Where did it go? There it goes. It's all even-handed stuff, like, you know, treat Republicans and Democrats the same. Oh, my gosh, there's a radical thought. Pursue every story and so on. And she gives out this 10-point plan, which you can look up because I can't find it now on my device. Just even-handed stuff. Now, you would think, well, yeah, of course you want them to do that. But they haven't been doing that. And it'll be really, really interesting to see how this develops with CBS News. Here it is. I got it now. Journalism that reports on the world as it actually is. Common sense.
What?
Journalism that is fair, fearless, and factual. Journalism that respects our audience enough to tell the truth plainly wherever it leads. Actually, I could just say journalism that respects our audience. I could stop right there. Journalism that makes sense of a noisy, confusing world. All right, that one's kind of fishy. Journalism that explains things clearly without jargon. Journalism that holds both American political parties to equal scrutiny. Yeah, including the one on the left. Journalism that embraces a wide spectrum of views and voices. This is what her Free Press org group has been doing for the last couple of years.
What? Diversity of thought?
Yeah.
How dare you.
Journalism that uses all the tools of the digital era. All right, that makes sense. That's obvious. Journalism that understands the best way to serve America is to endeavor to present the public with the facts first and foremost. In other words, leave your biases and ideologies to the side. Now, it'll be real interesting, number one, to see how many people walk out of CBS News because they just can't take this. And then let's see what happens over the next, let's say, year with their news coverage and so on and how it goes. Are they going to hold to these ideals? Are they going to slide back into, you know, being ideologues and stuff like that? I'm going to watch this. It'll be real interesting to see how this turns out.
Yes, all right? Yes, it will.
And if it does turn out, then what about the other outlets? And there's a lot of them. Are they going to follow the same cue? They should. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Frank Parlato, we're going to get some updates on the Sandusky case and situation. Interesting listening. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
WFXX, once again,
The Fox, your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox. In the biz, they call it efforting to get contact with Frank Parlato. We are efforting at the moment to get in touch here with Frank Parlato. FrankReport.com is where you can find his work, not just on the Jerry Sandusky case. He is a longtime investigative reporter, has done a lot of good work on a lot of cases. And it's interesting because if you look through all of his material, my perception of it is that he really just is trying to get to the truth of the matter. And there are cases where he has been integral in getting folks freed who were wrongly convicted. And there have been other cases where he has been integral in getting folks held accountable and convicted of crimes they were previously getting away with. He really has done some amazing work over the years. He got on to the Sandusky case relatively recently, meaning not, you know, John Ziegler was on it very early on. And John, if you remember, early was like his focus was on Sandusky. Was on Joe Paterno and the fact that he felt Paterno was getting wrongly tarnished with being responsible for this clear pedophile in Jerry Sandusky. And then he started delving into the case a little more, and he's like, well, I need to talk to Sandusky. And of course, Sandusky's professing his innocence, and he's going over all of the information he can with John Ziegler. And I still remember the phone call I got from John. John's like, so let me run something by you. So I'm starting to think the only part of this story that holds up when somebody tells me something is Sandusky's part. Everybody else, I go back and I fact check different things, and he's like, well, this date doesn't make sense, like with the Mike McQuarrie story. This doesn't make sense with the timing or just the story itself. With these alleged victims. But every time I check something out that Jerry Sandusky tells me, I go back and corroborate it and fact check it as best I can. And it's like, well, yeah, that pretty much checks out. He goes, do you think, because I'm starting to think that this guy actually is innocent. And I'm like, well, I think so too. And then he started delving a little bit more into it. He's like, I gotta start digging into this because that really was not my focus. He said, but I've talked to him a couple of times now, and I can't find anywhere where he is clearly lying, and the stories that he is telling add up, make sense in a regular real world, and these other stories are just, some of them, beyond preposterous. And then, again, started digging a little more, started figuring out how some of these folks collaborated on these stories, how these stories evolved over the course of time. And, again, Frank Parlato, a little late to the game, and he actually got involved when a now deceased professor out in California, and Parlato was talking about another story, and actually I think I have this right. It was one of his reporters. It wasn't him, but one of the reporters made mention of the Sandusky case in relation to another case, and I think it was on child sex abuse, and it's like, you know, that sometimes this can happen right under our noses, like what happened in the Jerry Sandusky case. And there was this professor in California who has long believed and also looked into it along with John Ziegler, and he's like, well, this isn't a case that makes any sense. There's nothing that's adding up here. And so he sent Frank Parlato a note. He's like, hey, just so you know, I know it was kind of a throwaway line in this other story, and it might not be perceived as a big deal, but I think your reporter ought to know, and you ought to know, that there's a lot more to this Sandusky case than what the general public believes. And I think if you look into it, you'd actually discover he's innocent. And Frank Parlato's like, all right, I'll look into it. I mean, come on. All of these stories. And then Frank started to pull the string. And it's like, oh, my God. Yep. He is innocent. They got this 100% wrong. And it started with some folks not doing the right thing on the prosecution side of things, and then a judge who was very willing to, in the face of some political pressure, it's like, man, we got to get this case moving. We can't have this thing going into football season. We've got the NCAA waiting over here. We've got to make decisions. And it's like, well, right, but justice, we got a pedophile here. We got to get him behind bars. All right, well, let's meet. Let's do this preliminary hearing in a hotel room, conference room, meeting room. So, wait, what now? Yeah. Yep, let's do that. And the attorney, Joe Amendola, folks, we have voluminous amounts. Like, you keep throwing new accusations at us. We need some time to look into these folks. We have to have time to prepare. Nope, we don't have time. But I need to be able to mount a fair defense. Nope, trial will move forward. Okay. And so we march through it. As John Ziegler has talked about, we have a local jury, which actually is more likely to convict Sandusky because they don't want to be perceived. The nation is saying, man, your community put football ahead of the well-being of kids. What kind of a sick society are you? But nobody knew anything. You people are just sick. Well, we don't want to be perceived as sick. No. We pedophile bad. We put pedophile away. That's what we do. Oh, good God. And we get the case rushed through. We get the folks feeling good that, okay, man, we've done our part. We've removed a hideous person from the streets. Wash our hands of it. Meanwhile, while the community is washing its hands of it, the prosecution is reaching out and pulling into the pockets over here. Their hands are just in the pockets of the victims, pockets of the taxpayers. Yeah. Give us. And
a lot of money.
We just keep going on. And the university, we've got to put it behind us. I mean, we can't look into this any further. We've got rid of our president. We got rid of our athletic director. But your president was a good man. Like, he did the right things. Your football coach did exactly what now society would demand. Your athletic director is about as fine of a human being as you will find anywhere on the planet. Yeah, we got rid of all of them. Okay, we're moving forward. Oh, look at us. We're really good.
Ooh.
No, you're actually not. You're despicable. And here we are, still waiting for justice, for somebody to look at this case with some objectivity, with some sense of fairness, and recognize that, yes, at the very least, my God, the evidence that was not presented, the opportunities that were not taken, and yes, now we have one of the parents of the so-called victims saying, yeah, this didn't happen. And one of the victims saying, now they didn't retract everything. They retracted, I would say, about 90 to 95% of the story they gave. Like, yeah, that isn't really what went down. There are gaping holes in some of the other stories. And when you look at this thing in totality, again, I don't see how there's any other reasonable conclusion than Jerry Sandusky did not get a fair trial. He was facing a beyond corrupt prosecution office and a judge that showed complete disregard for the procedures that are normally in place for a trial. And yet, all of this to this point has resulted in the courts saying, "Nah, we're good with it. We're good with just let it be. Let the conviction stand." The number of folks, I will say, one of the encouraging things, because in the immediate couple of years after the allegations, it was, there were very few people willing to publicly say, you know, I have some questions here. This doesn't actually make sense. Well, the number of those people, including some big voices out there, guys like Bob Costas. Now, Bob hasn't come out and I think most of us remember the now infamous, very famous interview that Bob Costas conducted with Jerry Sandusky. Bob Costas, I think we could fairly characterize that he agrees that Jerry Sandusky received an unfair trial, and that he is among those that have some very serious questions about the legitimacy of the conviction against Jerry Sandusky. And there's many other big names out there that are like, yeah, this something's not adding up. Now, some have come out, and yes, I think we have an innocent man in jail. Others have just come out and said, I'm not sure, but I think, yeah, it's worth at least another look. But here we are. Again, we are continuing to try to get hold of Mr. Parlato. He
let's take a break.
Scheduled for 9 o'clock this morning. I'm going to reach out one more time here, and we can go through some of what he has presented here. If we don't get hold of him when we come back, you are listening to Let's Talk Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Seasons change, and so does the equipment you need to handle those changes. From mowing to harvesting and taking care of snow, Dodder Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 has what you need to get it done. Still doing construction? Kubota has all the equipment you need. For landscaping, Dodder Equipment has what you need with equipment from Kubota, Steel, and Land Pride. The outdoors isn't all work and no play. Kubota, Honda Power Sports, and Suzuki have that fun covered too. And Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, has them all. Want to keep your home warm and cozy? Check out the Crown Royal Outdoor Furnaces. If you're cutting your own firewood, Dodder Equipment is your steel dealer with a saw that fits your needs perfectly. Dodder Equipment for Kubota, Honda Power Sports, Suzuki, Land Pride, Steel, Crown Royal Outdoor Furnaces, and a great selection of trailers and accessories. See it all now at Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Visit us online at DodderEquipment.com.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Is it just me, or does this hour seem a little anticlimactic at this point?
Well, sometimes things happen.
Our apologies. And listen, Frank, in fairness, a very busy fellow. If we are unable to get a hold of him here this morning, and I'm starting to think that is going to be the case, we will certainly work to reschedule as soon as possible with Mr. Parlato. Again, a lot of developments in this latest filing, and if you go to frankreport.com, they are pretty well documented there. There's a few things that are still in the works, and whether anything comes from them obviously remains to be seen, but there's a lot of movement behind the scenes still that could add to what I think is already a pretty clear-cut case for at the very least, a new trial for Jerry Sandusky. Again, some of the we just go through a couple of the headlines from Parlato's website. Again, frankreport.com. From prosecution to payday, how Sandusky's prosecutors gained control over a key accuser's $12 million fortune. Now, that particular part of the story, I will grant you, doesn't directly apply one way or the other to Jerry Sandusky's guilt or innocence. What I do think it clearly demonstrates is why there should be red flags regarding the prosecution. From the story with Frank, on April 16th, 2015, Sebastian Patton, victim 9 in the trial of Sandusky, executed a settlement trust funded by his civil recovery from Penn State. The petition lists the gross at $20 million. Ooh. Newly discovered evidence shows that since its creation, the trust has been controlled by the trial prosecutors through a three-member trust protective committee with consent authority over distribution above $100,000, power to remove and replace the trustee for any reason whatsoever, and compensation for committee members paid from trust assets. Now, you tell me if that sounds like, yep, no, that's on the up and up, Ironhead. That's just the way these things are done. No, that is not the way these things are done. The three members of the trust include former Pennsylvania Senior Deputy Attorney General Frank Fina, prosecutor in the Sandusky case. Gay Warren, described in the petition as a longtime paramour of lead prosecutor Joseph McGettigan.
Paramour.
Lauren Cliggett, Patton's therapist. Each member billed hourly at their professional rate plus $5,000 annually paid from the trust. And if the beneficiary, Patton, ever sought to terminate the trust, TPC members would have to sign off on that termination. Folks, I mean, this isn't difficult, right, to see that is, again, that may not directly show innocence or guilt with Sandusky, but it does show these folks are maybe not stalwarts of ethical actions in the prosecution office. Another headline, how prosecutors Frank Fina and Joe McGettigan profited from putting Jerry Sandusky in prison. And the aforementioned story, part of that, do want to read a little more from Frank Parlato's piece on Frank Fina. This particular section titled, A Bad Apple. Frank Fina is already a discredited actor in the Penn State case. In February of 2020, the justices of the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court voted 5-1 to suspend Fina's law license for a year and a day because of reprehensible and inexcusable conduct in Fina's prosecution of Penn State's top officials for an alleged cover-up of Sandusky's sex crimes. In his zeal to convict, Fina, the state Supreme Court's disciplinary board found, had duped a grand jury judge into allowing him behind closed doors to pressure Cynthia Baldwin, Penn State's former counsel, into breaking the attorney-client privilege. By threatening to indict Baldwin for obstruction of justice, Fina persuaded Baldwin to testify in the grand jury against three top Penn State officials who were her former clients, and by the way, none of whom knew that they were then former clients. From the same headline story. Since October 31st, 2012, Sandusky, now 81, has spent nearly 13 years in prison, six of those years in solitary confinement. Since he's been in prison, Sandusky has filed three PCRA appeals that were ultimately rejected in 2017, 2019, and 2021 by judges bent on circling the wagons to keep the stench of corruption in the Penn State case under wraps. Yeah, that stench is strong. Not under wraps. But this time, the allegations are so shocking, the Pennsylvania's judges may be forced to hold an evidentiary hearing. That's a spectacle where Fina and McGettigan would be hauled into court, placed under oath, and be forced to explain their conduct. Again, I think Frank Parlato is optimistic that that will occur, that should occur, that rightfully would occur. I think there's very little chance that occurs. And when we get Frank on, if not this morning, in the near future, we will delve into that a little bit, because I think Frank is counting on the courts justly applying the law in this case. And I don't think that's going to happen. I really hope I'm wrong. I don't think it's going to happen. The PCRA petition states that Fina and McGettigan had a financial incentive to induce allegations made by Sebastian Padden, who testified against Sandusky at trial as victim number 9, and that critical aspects of his testimony were false. Joseph McGettigan and Frank Fina financially profited from abuse allegations made by Padden and introduced him to civil attorneys during the case, during the course of Sandusky's criminal proceedings to facilitate a civil suit against Penn State. That is part of the PCRA petition. The Trust for Padden established a trust protective committee that had authority over the trust. The members of the trust, again, Fina Gay Warren and Lauren Siggett. Trust committee members were paid an annual $5,000 plus reasonable hourly compensation. Reasonable may be in the eye of the beholder there. Attorneys McAndrews and McGettigan also established a power of attorney for Padden, appointing Chris Malanga to make legal and financial decisions on behalf of Padden. According to the PCRA petition, McAndrews, McGettigan, and Malanga appointed therapists to live with Padden after a claim was filed on Padden's behalf. But before he got paid, Padden's civil lawyers provided money via high-interest loans for Padden and his mother to move into homes in Bryn Mawr and Malvern, Pennsylvania. According to Padden's mother, when Padden got arrested on marijuana-related charges, McGettigan and Fina arranged for Padden to move to Colorado.
Nice.
Padden was a high school senior when police came knocking on his door. Padden, like virtually all of Sandusky's alleged victims, initially told police that Sandusky had never abused them. That we're supposed to believe, kids. But then Padden changed his story to say that he had visited Sandusky's house between 100 and 150 times from 2005 to 2008, and that each time Sandusky kissed him, and then Sandusky began forcing him to engage in oral sex. And then he tried to have anal sex with him 16 times. At Sandusky's trial, Padden's story grew more spectacular. He told the jury that during his visits to Sandusky's house, he had been kept as a virtual prisoner in the basement without food while he screamed for help. Padden claimed that Sandusky's wife, who was usually in the house during his visits, did nothing to help him. But when Padden's mother spoke to Parlato, she told him that she controlled her son's activities and that the actual number of visits Sebastian Padden made to Sandusky's home during that three-year period from 2005 to 2008 was no more than 10 to 15 times. Padden's mother also telling Parlato that around the time of Sandusky's trial, the prosecutors had assured her son, "You will never have to work a day in your life."
Oh, boy.
Padden's mother told Parlato how at the Sandusky trial, McGettigan instructed her to mention that she wished that Sandusky had given her son underwear and socks as presents instead of Nike gear. At Sandusky's trial, Padden's mother was sequestered, so she was unaware that her son had testified that he had disposed of his underwear after being sexually abused by Sandusky. So when Padden's mother testified in response to McGettigan's questions, she did what the prosecutor had instructed her to do. "Oh, yeah," she told McGettigan. "He gave him gifts. I wish he could have given him some underwear to replace the underwear that I could never find in my laundry." According to what Padden's mother told Parlato, however, the issue of her son's missing underwear predated any contact with Mr. Sandusky. But on the witness stand, McGettigan directed Padden's mother to present it, the missing underwear, in a way that would mislead the jury and imply that it coincided with contact with Mr. Sandusky, the PCRA petition states. And this is time and time again in this case, how this thing, again, you start pulling at the string, and it's like, well, no, this story isn't accurate. Well, this story, start pulling this string. Nope, this story isn't accurate. Whoop, over here. Well, this makes no sense. Whoop, over here. Wait a second. This prosecutor, he's not scrupulous. This isn't, and this is how we get to where we're at today. We've gone through the repressed memory thing before. Again, these were also presented as kids at trial. Most of these so-called kids were teenagers at the time. And I understand through manipulation, yes, child predators can get people, some people, to come back and through apologies and promises of gifts and a better life and all of that, sway them to come back. None of these people make that accusation against Sandusky. To go to the other end of this, it is just Sandusky's actions were so unlike virtually every other pedophile who has been caught over the years. There's usually one of two things that happen. Either they get panicky and start calling the accusers, the victims, and pleading with them. Please, I am so sorry. I really do love you. I don't know what happened. Is there anything I can do? Sandusky didn't do that in any of these cases. That is really, really unusual. Another unusual part of this case is that the people closest to Jerry Sandusky, and if you look at Michigan State, Larry, anyways,
that the, guy, yeah.
the abuser there, the folks closest to him started putting together, it's like, wait a second. Oh my God. And wife seeks divorce. Close friends are like, oh my God, I see this. Does it not strike anybody as at least a little peculiar? And I guess, maybe you can construct a scenario where, yep, Dottie Sandusky is also a villain. I'm just telling you, as somebody who was in the Sandusky house many times as a kiddo, it is beyond preposterous. If you know Dottie Sandusky at all, it is literally not possible for her to... She wouldn't put up with somebody speaking inappropriately around a kiddo. She just wouldn't. And she was consistent with that throughout her entire life, is consistent with that throughout her entire life. She has steadfastly stuck by Jerry through all of this. Why? Because she knows darn well he is not capable of it. His closest friends, again, you go through pedophile after pedophile when they are convicted and the truth is found out, people are like, oh my God, and they bail. None of Jerry Sandusky's closest friends bailed. They all will tell you, some of them publicly, some are like, I don't want the harassment, but they will tell you, no, we know he didn't do this. We've seen him in private moments with kiddos, and it's just not who he is. Through all of this, again, Jerry Sandusky has willingly answered questions. One of the things that was used at the time, and even Uncle Kev and I back in the day, the morning after that Bob Costas interview, it's like, my God, that was a disaster. And it was. But part of why it was a disaster is Jerry Sandusky repeated questions that people wanted him to just answer quickly. No, of course I'm not attracted to boys. But he was It's just kind of an affectation of Jerry. It's like, I want to process this, make sure I'm understanding what you are asking. And he made himself look very bad in the interview. What we are told, though, is that Jerry Sandusky got away with this crimes over the years because he is a master manipulator. Oh, does he know how to work the public? He knows how to spin himself. He knows how to talk and present a sharp game. And in the biggest moment of his life, he forgot how to do that. I've been doing it for 20 years. I know how to manipulate things. And now in the biggest moment, I'm going to completely forget it. And do I like children sexually? Yeah, but no. Other than that interview, man, was he... He knew how to manipulate.
He was a terrible interview back in the day.
Always.
I mean, he was not a good, like, defensive coordinator. He was not a good interview. I never looked forward to interviewing him because the answers were usually kind of short, slightly vague. I'm not trying to be insulting. He was not a good interview. He just wasn't.
Well, and again, a couple of his kids will tell you, and they're not meaning to be disrespectful. They're not, they will tell you straight out, we love our dad. He was very good at his job, but he was not smart enough to pull something like this off. He just wasn't. He was a genuinely naive, to a fault in this particular case, genuinely naive, individual, and it wasn't that he was stupid, but he really, to get away with this for all of these years, the planning that would have to be involved, and the steps he would have to take to make sure he was getting away with it, again, his kiddos, those that are closest to him, will tell you, it just, again, not trying to be insulting to him, but he's just not capable of pulling that off, just not within his academic sphere to be able to manipulate in that way to that degree for that length of time. There's so many different parts to the story that just do not add up. And as John Ziegler has pointed out time and time again, and Frank Parlato has discovered much the same thing, as folks have checked out the elements of the story that Jerry Sandusky has told, it's like, well, they can't find any holes. He keeps, well, I was with this kid in at this event, and it's like, yep, he was there, and... But this kid, there's no way. I was out of town at this time. Let's head to the phones real quickly here. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
I don't know where to begin. You covered a lot of ground. You filled in well for your missing guest.
We will get him on. My guess is
something
just got our days mixed up, or that, yes, something came up this morning.
But go ahead. Go ahead.
You mentioned that Jerry's 81 now, and so he's 15 years, 16 years my senior. And to tell you the truth, when you speak to him being naive, I recall the man who volunteered to be Little League coaches, Boy Scout masters, you know, just people who are willing to be around young men. And I've never spent 1 hour with a child or 1 hour with a young man because my culture doesn't want me to do it. And I have to get an FBI check. And I won't even go into a public restroom. If I see there's somebody younger than me, you know, like in their teens, I'll turn right around and wait till they leave the public restroom. So, yeah, I like that term, naive. Unfortunately, we've separated wisdom, which used to be associated with age, from our young people. My generation, which is 15 years younger than Jerry, I'm never going to take that chance. I'm never going to volunteer to work with young people. So,
yeah, it is a sad byproduct. I appreciate the call, Jim. We're going to take a break here. I do want to tell a quick story when we come back along those lines. And I do think it is a sad state of affairs. I also think there rightfully needs to be the protections that are in place now. And I want to pick up on that when we come back, because I'll make some comparisons here. You are listening to Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand Multi-Force stand-ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub, right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. We'll see if we can get Mr. Parlato on Thursday's show is what we're going to try to get accomplished here. Real quickly, and then I'll let Scott chime in
here. I got a thought or two, yeah.
But I do, the caller's point at the end, this is one of the things that is, it's disappointing, but it's just a reality. And it's kind of like where we're at with school safety. Do I want to live in a world where we can walk into a school and it's like, hey, I just need to give my kid this note and I can just walk in and then walk out? Yes, that would be wonderful. We can't live in that world. We have to have some sort of procedure where they are able to verify, hey, are you actually a parent? Are you? And we have sign out procedures and all of that stuff. And again, because of the world we're in and what we now know exists out there, that is appropriate. The background checks that the caller mentioned, our kiddos in Scouts and. Yep, we got to do sign up if you want to be a scout leader. We have to have at least two leaders with the kiddos at every event. Oh, come on. I'm with you have to have two leaders at every event. And you can't have kids one-on-one with an adult away from everybody else. You talk to coaches, high school coaches. They will not allow themselves to be one-on-one behind closed doors with a student athlete. Well, come on, it's Coach so-and-so and this. Yep, and you can't risk it. It takes one accusation, and it can end your career. So I'm with you. And I have a friend who is late 50s, and he's like, you know, I think about it. He was a terrific baseball player. It's like, I really would love to get back and just teach fundamentals to young kids. And I won't do it. He goes, there will be questions. He goes, all of my kids are adults. They've been raised. And he said, I just know, even if there's not any accusation, like, well, why is this guy who doesn't have any kids on the team? Why is he? And he's like, I see some of the lack of fundamentals, and he doesn't live around here, so don't get all upset. No accusations about the way it's being taught around here. He's like, in another part of the country, he's like, I just see some fundamentals that aren't being done, and they're easy. I'd like to just set up, and he goes, I won't do it. He goes, I really, really would like to, and I won't do it. And I'm like, ah, that is heartbreaking, and I get it. And even the one last story, there was a friend of mine who we were at, this was a tailgate years ago, and one of my other friends had a young daughter, I think 5 or 6, and my friend, who was married, had kids, but they didn't know the mother or the other kiddo. But the other kid who comes over, and he's like, oh, man, you are just the cutest girl. I love your dress and all of that. And later on, the mom, who's a very good person, came over, and she's like, that was a little creepy, wasn't it? I'm like, what? And she's like, he was, like, commenting on her dress and how cute she is. Like, it just made me uncomfortable. I'm like, what? Yeah. And but it's the world we live in. I'm like, really, you can't comment on how cute, like, your kid is adorable. Like, not, it's just an adorable kid.
Yeah.
Sorry. There's adorable dogs. There's adorable kids. There's stuff that's adorable. There's nothing inherently creepy about pointing out that a kid is adorable. But she, I think just, again, and this was several, this is now, I don't know, 10 years ago. I'm like, oh, man, if we are at the point where you can't comment on how cute a kid is without red flags going up, I just don't like that.
Well, it's a touchy society. All right. If I would comment, you know, if a girl's wearing a nice dress and I would say, you look terrific. Yeah, somebody would take that the wrong way. Oh, what's he thinking?
Well,
I think she looks terrific.
I'll tell you another.
That's it. All right, there it is.
Another teacher, you know, there's no, at some schools, there's not really a dress code. But a buddy of mine, and this is going back probably close to 20 years now, but he was teaching at a high school, and there was a girl with a very low top.
Cut. Yeah.
And he said to her, I think you ought to put something over that, like that. And she responded, why are you looking there? And it's like, well, because you clearly want people looking there, and I'm telling you. But her response, well, I'm going to go tell the principal that you're checking your student out. And everybody knew he is, again, as upstanding a person as you're going to meet. And it's like, well, if you notice this and ask somebody to do something about it, then it's, well, you're leering at the, well, no. I do have eyeballs, and yes, I will notice that you are sitting in front of my class with that, and you ought not be doing that in a classroom. Not an unreasonable take, but again, just the world we're living
in. Yeah, that's true.
And it's only gotten worse since those particular incidents.
My.
In terms of the touchiness and the, well, I'll report you for this or that.
Yeah, and some people, I think, use it as a weapon. I'm not afraid to say that out loud. All right, now come on. First off, sometimes guests, something comes up. All right, so we'll get a hold of Frank. We'll see if we can get him Thursday or some upcoming day soon.
Yes.
Because we definitely want to talk to him. He's got some, well, I mean, the whole thing that Sandusky and whoever's around him now are trying for another appeal. All right, so that just came out the other day. So we're going to, you know, watch for that. We'll see if we can get Frank on. Folks, as you can tell, my friend here is very passionate about this subject. All right. Very, very. I'm still amongst probably the most, you know, most people out there were sort of on this one. We're on the outside looking in with just the basic thought that how could the system have gotten this so wrong? All right. How? That's it's just not possible. All right, it's just, no, I mean, all those guys and the money flying around and all the publicity, and it's just, there's just no way the system could have gotten it this wrong. I think that's, I still kind of feel in that direction. And I think that's probably how most people feel. Granted, there are some people out there, the people I call snipers. I mean, it's just, if you speak up in defense of Sandusky and you want to say, no, wait a minute, some of this isn't, you know, this isn't flying and it's not passing the smell test and, you know, all those lines there. The snipers, oh, you're a pedophile, oh, pedophile lover, whatever. Okay, whatever. Just go back in your corner, you snipers. But most folks are probably thinking, just continue to think, there's just no way the system could have gotten it this wrong. Mm. Okay, I'll take a pregnant pause right there. Will Sandusky get his appeal? That's a good question. Should he get an appeal? Yes. Yes, he should. Because enough people, not one, enough people have poked enough holes in this story over the last dozen years or so to say, okay, boy, he is absolutely deserving of an appeal. Now, will it happen? Now, folks, here's where common sense kicks in, okay? Think about this. Again, how many people were invested in this case? The state government's invested. The judicial system is invested. Lawyers are invested. Penn State University is absolutely invested. All right. Look at how much money they just, when they went into panic mode 14 or 13 years ago and just started handing out checks left and right. Again, the idea is here's your check. Now go away. Here's your check. Now go away. We just want this whole thing to go away. Now, I won't say I could understand that line of thinking. They wanted to get out of trouble, if you will, as quickly as they could. What do? You throw money at the problem. Come on, politicians do this all the time. And so there are some big, and it's, you know, it's interesting that this and the Subbu Vetum case are kind of happening at the same time. Isn't that wild? Now, the Subbu Vetum thing, all right, Subbu has his supporters, but he's one guy. And he allegedly did something once 45 years ago. All right. Now, the Sandusky thing was, oh, it happened over and over and over and over and over. Right. All right. The whole rigmarole. So Subbu Vetum, it's like, okay, we're going to let him have another shot at a trial. All right. The judge made that ruling. And then the DA, today's DA says, you know what? This is so old. We're not even going to try. Let him out of jail. All right, we're done. All right. Now, the Sandusky thing's only, we'll say, 13 years old. And most people are still with us. Some of the Vetum people, you know, prosecutors, they're dead or missing. All right. So there it's different. Here, the people are still very much breathing. And they don't, think about it. Think you're a person of power. They don't want Sandusky getting an appeal because, God forbid, he gets his appeal and it goes the other way. Folks, can you imagine what would happen if that would occur on so many different levels? It would be an earthquake. And so it will be curious to see how this unveils or how this unwraps, if you will, in the coming weeks and months. Should Jerry Sandusky get an appeal? Yes, he should. we should, it's either let's put this to bed, all right, definitive boom done, or what the heck happened 13 years ago? We are all deserving of that knowledge and information. Now, will the powers that be play along? There's the question. And there's our music, and we're out of time.
Yep.
Tomorrow, state government stuff. I know our guest will be here tomorrow, so make sure you join us. Might need an umbrella today. Other than that, hey, have a terrific Tuesday.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Fox Sports.